38 past the hour at Faith Radio. Tomorrow, the National Day of Prayer. In addition to praying for our nation and for our leaders, you're also encouraged to pray for the church, both your own congregation and, of course, the church universal. But as we pray, here is a thought-provoking question. Are America's churches standing on the promises of God or the trends of man? Here to help us answer that question and maybe even rock our world a little bit is author and Christian worldview expert David Wheaton. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Bill. It's great to be with you today.
So let me start off by quoting something from your website. Last week you said this, as our culture has become increasingly secular over the past few decades, evangelical church leaders have adapted their services to attract especially a younger generation that hasn't been exposed to traditional biblical Christianity. On its face, it sounds like a good thing, but is it?
Yeah, well, I think you have to. There's two aspects to a church service. There's the message, what the pastor actually preaches, and then there's the methodology. You know, how the service is organized, the type of music, the setting, the things that take place during the service. And I think the older generation who's listening today, let's say someone who's over 60, 65 years old, remembers a time in the church where it was very traditional, where the message was preached verse by verse from Scripture, at least in, let's say, fundamental or evangelical churches, not necessarily the mainline denominations. The music was traditional, the Bible was preached verse by verse, there was a sense of reverence, people dressed up to go to church. It was a very different experience than maybe the broader culture. Now, those who are older than that will also have seen the transformation that's taken with place within these churches within the last, let's say, 30 or 40 years, to messages now being much more based on topical messages, felt needs of the audience, marriage, raising children, grief. You know, things we're struggling with in our lives, where we take maybe a passage of scripture 1 week and then another book another week, and then kind of jump all over the place trying to figure out where people have needs in the congregation. And then, of course, the methodology has changed so much as well, too. I mean, there's no greater example of that than the music. The last 40 years in church, the church has taken on contemporary Christian music, praise music, and of course now more like a rock, even rap music that takes place in churches. And so I think any honest observer of the church would say there's been a huge change over the last 30 or 40 years, which has taken place in the evangelical church in America. And I think the question you have to ask is it not only I wouldn't say the best question is it effective? Is it honoring and glorifying? Is it reverent toward God? Is it the way he prescribed church to be for a gathering of believers?
Well, you said something a minute ago that caught my attention, and you talked about how many of the sermons, much of the teaching is needs-based.
Mm-hmm.
And while, you know, I think all of us need to realize the Bible speaks to you know, every issue of concern in our lives, whether that's, you know, family or whether that's, you know, health issues or financial issues. The Bible has a lot to say on all of those things. What is the danger when we move away from, let's say, preaching right out of the Bible or expository teaching, mm-hmm. to every week kind of having a theme of what's your need and how can God meet it?
Yeah, I think there is a danger there, in my opinion, on this. I think that when we preach verse by verse through Scripture, you know, you get to all these felt needs in any given message. The Bible really addresses everything: relationships, marriage, raising children, morality. And so if a pastor faithfully preaches through Scripture and trusts that things that will be very applicable to his congregation will be brought out in time, if he teaches systematically through the Word, I think that's where the power is. The power to change people is in the Word, not in pastors' personal stories, not in taking, you know, dwelling or relying too heavily on cultural examples or props or these kinds of things. The power to change people comes from the supernatural Word of God, which is inspired, inerrant, infallible. That's what changes people. And I think when a pastor does that, there you can see a change in the congregation's spiritual lives. Now, when you rely on just too much of felt needs, it does, I find, Bill, that it doesn't give the congregation a really clear understanding of Scripture and God's revelation. In other words, you're jumping kind of all over the place. People don't have a very good grasp of the full arc, the full trajectory of Scripture, you know, starting in Genesis, of creation and fall and God's process of redemption, going through the books of the Old Testament and the prophets, and then coming to the New Testament and seeing God's grace, his manifestation of grace in Christ and his final consummation of in Revelation of the end. We don't get that arc when we kind of jump all over Scripture and just preach on topics that we think will meet the needs of the audience. True believers desire and crave the Word of God. That's what they really want, not particular stories from the pastor, what happened to him during the week, and too many props. Now, there's nothing wrong with a prop. Once in a while, it can make a good point. But if there is an emphasis, a strong emphasis on that type of thing, where that's really what people are coming for, they want to be there. In other words, they're being touched by the setting, the dark room, the type of music. They're trying to, the church is trying to create this emotional experience. What you're doing by that is you're actually creating people in the church who are going to be looking for the next emotional experience. And that's really not how the Christian life should work. I mean, we know that we can't live on kind of an emotional high all the time. We need to be grounded in the Word. In other words, it starts with our minds being convinced of what the Word's saying, that's true, and we need to follow it. And then it follows with our will. Our will gets engaged. Like, this is what I will do. I will obey. And then there is an emotional aspect to it, for sure. But that's the third aspect, after the mind and the will. And I just think when you create this experiential type worship environment, both through the methodology and through the message, it's no accident that you're going to get Christians or professing Christians that are going to be, well, it's sort of like eating candy. It tastes good at the beginning, but it doesn't make you grow strong and stronger in your faith.
Mm, wow, well said. Our guest is David Wheaton, apologist and Christian worldview expert. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Joe Bender. Join me as we connect faith to life Fridays at noon.
Welcome back. 48 past the hour at Faith Radio. Tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer, and one of the things that we are encouraging you to pray for is the church, your own body that you meet with on a weekly basis. And, of course, for your small group, for your pastor, for your pastor's family, and all those in leadership in your church. And then praying for the church universal and for those who are persecuted in the church around the world. And certainly that should be, I think, one of our main prayers every week, is to pray for those Christians who are suffering right now and undergoing hardship because of their faith. Well, my guest is David Wheaton, and David is a Christian worldview expert and author, and we've been talking about how the church in America, maybe not, you know, there are some churches that are perhaps getting a little bit too seeker sensitive, and of course we want to welcome seekers into our church, but are we watering down the gospel in the process? And David, as somebody who is dedicated to teaching others a you know, solid biblical worldview, how would you assess the current state of the church in America? Now, don't pull any punches here. You can be honest.
Well, I don't want to overgeneralize. There are certainly, I'm sure, many good churches who preach the Word of God faithfully, the reverent services and so forth. And so I don't want to overgeneralize, but I think, generally speaking, in America, too many of the evangelical churches have gone down this road. You know, I heard a message recently, and this is the reason we did this topic on our radio program recently, by Phil Johnson, who is the executive director of Grace to You, and he writes a lot on the trends in the church and so forth. And his message was from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5, really encouraging pastors, you know, to preach the Word, to not get distracted, to not veil what we're trying to do, to not get caught up in, well, he said three temptations that pastors face is, number one, is trying to be clever. He said that postmodern evangelicalism doesn't believe God's Word is powerful enough. So we try to do all these clever things. We try to arrange church and the message so that it'll attract people from the outside. Instead of feeding the true sheep on the inside, we're trying to attract people from the outside. And like you just said, it's nothing wrong if unbelievers come to church, but you know that church is really meant primarily for believers. You know, you see in Acts, it's meant to for the preaching of the Word, for fellowship of believers, for taking communion, and for fellowship. And so that's what the church is actually for. And so when we gear it for unbelievers, we're really departing from what God originally intended his body to be for. So the one temptation is trying to be clever. The second one he mentioned is trying to be coy. And he meant by that by saying that pastors won't use words today like sin and repentance and God's judgment. They're kind of reluctant to give all the details of Scripture because they think, you know, the harder truths of Scripture, Bill, you know, might offend some ears and people might not want to stay in the church. And then the third temptations they face, pastors face today, is trying to be cool. In other words, craving to be cool is like the besetting sin of the younger generation. This is a very interesting term he used. He said too many pastors, they don't do exegesis of Scripture. We're pulling out the meaning of Scripture. They do narcegesis. In other words, they preach themselves into the stories of their messages. And he said that's a real temptation that pastors face today. And as you were coming back from the break, what you said about the National Day of Prayer and praying for our churches, I really believe that if the churches changed in this country, if they became more solid, more stronger believers, preached the word more faithfully and fully, that would change the country, that change this nation, change the people of this country more than any of the political machinations that we've tried so much over the last 30 or 40 years, and yet the country seems to continue to go in a way that's rebelling and rejecting against God. It's really the church that was the primary influencer in this country for, you know, the first couple centuries at least. That was the point of primary influence in this country, and that's been lost now. The church is no longer, the pulpit is no longer has that place of influence. Now it's the media, it's the educational system, it's political leaders, it's those kinds of entertainment industry. Those kinds of things are the primary influencers, sadly, in our culture today.
Hmm. David, I know many Faith Radio listeners may attend a church that tends to fall more on the, let's say, the seeker-sensitive mm-hmm. side of the spectrum. And again, we're not saying that being seeker-sensitive is necessarily bad, but if a listener attends a church like that, are there some questions that they should be asking maybe about their church programs or what takes place in the worship service itself? Should they maybe be stop and say, okay, I want to be discerning about mm-hmm. what's occurring in my church? And then if they don't feel that it is, you know, if their pastor is preaching the word of God, if it's really solid, what's the answer?
Yeah, I think the two questions they can ask are, what is the pastor preaching on a regular basis? Is he generally preaching verse by verse from the Word of God, or is he just kind of jumping all over the place trying to meet some felt needs that he perceives in the congregation? That's, I think, the most important thing is, what is the church actually preaching? Is it the full gospel? Is it is not just only about the love of God, which is very important to preach, but is there also about God's you know, his wrath and his judgment and the call for sin and repentance? That's part of the good news message, is that we're unsaved. That's the bad news. And the good news is Jesus Christ, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to himself. So what is the message that's taking place? And then the methodology. Is the methodology of the service, is it really highly geared to create an emotional response first and foremost, or is there a reverence in the service that's trying to direct the hearts and the minds of the people in the congregation to worship God, or is it to make the people feel good themselves? I think those two questions can be asked, and as they discern the answers to those questions, I think the next step is, if they discern that the answers are, well, you know, he's really kind of jumping around Scripture. It's not really based in expository preaching. You know, the methodology seems to be very emotional-based. I think I would just very kindly go to the pastor and talk to him and point out some of the things you see in a very gracious way, not you know, slandering him or criticizing him or gossiping with other members of the church, but just trying to encourage him to preach verse by verse from the Word. Go through a book of Scripture and see and trust that God's going to bring out all the answers to the things he's trying to preach in topical messages. Those things will come out as you preach through a book of the Bible.
Well, and as you said, if you're going to do that, you need to do it winsomely. Mm-hmm. You need to go to your pastor in love, and certainly not be critical. Certainly, but more maybe offer, hey, you know, I would love it if you know, you would go through the Book of Romans or 1st and 2nd Corinthians or whatever it might be. Is that something you could consider in the future?
Yeah.
And then I think if more individuals in a given church said, we really want to learn more about God's Word and how to apply it to our lives, perhaps we'll start to see some changes there. So some great counsel. David Wheaton, Our good friend and Christian worldview expert, thanks so much for your time, David, and may God bless you and your family tomorrow on the National Day of Prayer.
God bless your family as well, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
56 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network.